facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Kale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
You know what time it is. Oh, Daniel Craig is not available. We had it. I'll just do my best impression. Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend. We had a computer crash earlier today. There it is.
The weekend.
He's alive. Well, listen, it's so good to be with you. And I want to thank each and every one of you for supporting. It's still going on. Technically, it's over, but it's still happening. Our Join the Family Fall Pledge Drive campaign. You guys helped us absolutely blow away our targets. We have now raised our need was $2.7 million. We have now raised $3.2 million for the work of Relevant Radio, bringing Christ to the world through the media. And it's not over yet. If you didn't have a chance to give yet, you can still give. It's still a 100% matching hour. Any gift that you give is matched 100% by generous donors just like you. And so I want to thank everybody for your generosity this week, keeping us on the airwaves, keeping us going. And we're going to use any excess that we have here to pay down all the mortgages on all these radio stations. We've got almost 200 radio stations all across the great United States. We're in some new markets this year, like Dallas. So happy to be in the Big D. So hi to everybody out there in Texas. And you can call in too. 888-914-9149 is the studio line on the Kale Clark Show. We got some really cool stuff to talk about today. Are you going to be living your best life this weekend? How can you live your best life from a Catholic perspective? I'm going to share with you the coolest thing I've ever seen and a quote from G.K. Chesterton that is probably, it's in maybe the top three quotes I've ever heard in my life. It is straight fire. I'm going to be sharing that with you. So you can also email the program, kale@relevantradio.com, kale@relevantradio.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter, @KaleClark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And I posted a mysterious picture of an individual who I'm going to talk about. He lived in the recent past, and he was really a prophet for our day. I'm going to be talking about him in just a second. I think one person, Bill, was able to discern who he was using the help of a little, maybe he Googled a little bit, maybe he cheated a little bit, but he did answer the question correctly. Who is this guy? I'm going to tell you in just a second. Our show account on Twitter is @KaleClarkShow. You can check that out. So once again, thanks to all of you for helping make our pledge drive such a huge success, our last one of the year. And going into Thanksgiving, we have a lot to be thankful for this year. Really, I want to give a special shout out to Alan in California, who donated $10,000 this week to this program specifically, listens very faithfully, and it's made a big difference in your life, Alan. I really want to thank you for that. God bless you. We'll be praying for you and everybody who's helped us out. No gift is too big. No gift is too small. God loves a cheerful giver, and he will reward you for your generosity. And I really want to thank you for helping with the mission. Well, again, as I asked just a moment ago, what are you going to be doing this weekend to live your best life? And what does it mean to live the good life from a Catholic perspective? For me, one of the things I like to do is I want to take some time to do a little bit of reading. I don't have a whole lot of time during the week to do this. A lot of the reading that I do is for professional purposes. Maybe it's the same for you. But I saw this really cool article about a book that I just have to get this book. This is a very famous book. I keep hearing about this. I keep hearing great things about this. It's a book called The Intellectual Life. And this is the guy whose picture I posted on Twitter. And this book came out in 1921. It's called The Intellectual Life. And it was written by, here he is, the great French Dominican and thinker, A.G. Serlinger. Serlinger is French, so obviously I say Serlinger. So A.G. stands for Antonin Gilbert. So it's like Justice Antonin Scalia, who recently passed away. May he rest in peace. So Antonin Gilbert Serlinger, O.P., he was a Dominican. And he wrote this book called The Intellectual Life. And you say, well, what does this have to do with me? I'm not an intellectual. Well, join the club. Neither am I. I don't consider myself an intellectual either. But guess what? That doesn't matter, because this book really isn't so much about the intellectual life as it's about how to live life well. And by the way, we all do have an intellectual life. We may not be all professional intellectuals, but we have an intellectual life. We all have minds. We all are called to love God with our minds, as Jesus said in the gospel. We've got to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And hopefully Relevant Radio helps you to do that, helps to strengthen you. And the stuff we talk about, hopefully you find that interesting. Hopefully you find it beneficial to your faith, will help you to understand it better and share it with others. That's really why we do what we do here at Relevant Radio. And so I read this article about this book, and it's on a really cool website, which I recently discovered, called Genealogies of Modernity. The website is called Genealogies of Modernity, and this article was written by a couple of Dominicans, Brother Christopher Daniel, OP, and Brother John Henry Peters, also a Dominican, and they're writing it about their fellow Dominican, the late, great A.G. Sertolange. Now, A.G. Sertolange, his book, The Intellectual Life, really what he does here is he's really proposing a way of life. And the two Dominicans who wrote this article, they actually had a discussion group about this book. It was kind of like a book club with university students over the summer. And they talked about this book a lot. And a lot of the ideas that they got from these university students, they thought were so cool, such interesting insights. So they wanted to write about it because this book can apply to everybody. It's a how-to manual, as they say, for how to live life. Now, in his case, Sertolange, he was an intellectual himself, but really it's applicable for all of us. We can, no matter what our profession is, no matter what our job is, we can get something out of this. It's really, really practical. So, for example, as the writers say, he talks about things like healthy living. A.G. Sertolange, he also talks about the need to get plenty of rest, taking frequent walks, eating light food when you're working. I'm practically, actually right now, you know what I'm eating right now? I'm eating the rest of my Halloween candy, or rather the rest of my daughter's Halloween candy. Don't tell her. She's probably listening. Sorry, Michaela. You're finding out about taxes right now, essentially. This is how taxes work. I take my cut. Got the Kit Kat bars. At any rate, so healthy eating, I need to work on that this weekend. So, but A.G. Sertolange, he talks about healthy living, taking frequent walks, getting a lot of rest, light food while you're working, the proper way to take notes. He was a big proponent of note cards, how to organize your time, how to make the best use of your hours of study, your work, whatever that may be. In his case, it was study, as well as the other hours of the day. So here's the deal. Here's the main insight from his writing here. No matter what your job is, ultimately you're a human being. You're a human being first. And I used to have this professor who used to ask this all the time. He used to always say, are you a human doing or are you a human being? Because we're constantly doing stuff all the time. What have you done lately? What have you done for me lately? It's all about that. So are you a human doing or are you a human being? Because the fact is, you are a human being, and you are more than just a spiritual soul. Whatever your job is, you're more than that. You're more than your job. LeBron James, he has this campaign called More Than an Athlete. More Than an Athlete. And I think that's in response to people saying, these athletes should just be quiet and just dribble the basketball and shut up. You know, you're not allowed to have an opinion about anything. So he created this movement called More Than an Athlete. And, you know, whenever you meet somebody new, when you're at a party, you might have a get-together this weekend, you might meet somebody new, and people always want to ask you, what do you do? What do you do? Because they want to look for some way to define you somehow. And to them, what you do is in many cases who you are to them. But you're much more than that. You're much more than what you do. You're much more than what you do. And this is one of the great insights of A.G. Sertolange, that your life cannot be reduced solely to your work. And this is great advice for anybody, but he also talks about this, and this is where he's really kind of a prophet of our time, a prophet of our time. He warns frequently about a couple of things. For this whole thing, first of all, you're more than let me just get back to one thing real quick, because before I move on, I want to talk about this. He rejects in his book Cartesian dualism. Now, if you might have heard of this guy, René Descartes, a really important thinker in history. He had that famous saying, I think, therefore I am. And this Cartesian dualism, you know, which is kind of named after René Descartes, it's this concept of I think, therefore I am. And that's been kind of morphed into what we see today when people say, what I think I am, I am. And I told you before that I saw this poster that was put out by the government in the province of Ontario, where I live in Toronto in Canada. And it was a poster of a woman, and she was pointing to her head, her mind, and the caption, so she had one finger pointing to her mind, and the other hand, the other finger is pointing sort of below the belt. I'll just leave it there. And so the title of the poster was, My Sexuality is Determined Here, and she was pointing to her brain, not here. And she was pointing to her, you know, reproductive organs, if you will. So, and that's exactly this Cartesian dualism run amok. What I think I am, I am. I am whatever I think I am. No, we don't buy into that as Catholic Christians, because we believe that the human person is a body-soul unity. You are a body. You don't have a body. You're either male or female. You don't have a body. You are a body. And this is not some, you know, something you need to escape from, something that you're trapped in, your body. You are a body. This is you. God created the human person as a body-soul unity. And he said, it is very good, very good. And in fact, it's so good, you're going to get to keep it for all eternity, ultimately, because yes, when we die, our bodies are separated from our souls for a time. But at the resurrection on the last day, our souls will be reunited with a resurrected, glorified body like Jesus has. Mary was assumed into heaven, body and soul. And so we're going to have that resurrected body. So heaven is a real place for real resurrected bodies. And so is hell, because there's a double resurrection, Jesus tells us in John's gospel, a resurrection of the good, the bad, and the ugly, the evil as well as the good. And so that's a sobering thought to think about. But this is how God created us, and he wants it to be this way. It's very good. This is another thing that A.G. Sertolange, the great Dominican, said in his book, The Intellectual Life. He also talked about the dangers of the modern age. And he didn't live in our times. You know, writing in the 1920s, he had no concept of what we were going to be dealing with the internet, with smartphones, with all the digital distractions in our time. And here's something he says in his book. The mind is dulled. The mind is dulled, not fed, by inordinate reading. It is made gradually incapable of reflection and concentration, and therefore of production. It grows inwardly, this is an interesting phrase, he says, your mind grows inwardly extroverted, if one can so express oneself, end of quote. So what was he talking about there? And by the way, you're listening to the K.O. Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149 is the studio line to call if you want to react to any of this stuff. What was A.G. Sertolange, what was he talking about in his book, The Intellectual Life, when he was talking about this? He was talking about people just reading the news obsessively. And back then, all they really had was newspapers. They didn't have TV. They didn't have the internet, they didn't have smartphones, didn't have apps. He was just talking about how even in his day, people would obsessively follow the news. How much truer are his words today? And here's another thing he said in his book, the continual sight stimuli thus occasioned destroys mental energy as constant vibration wears out steel. So even in those days, when you didn't have all the eye candy to look at, all the sight stimuli, as he puts it, even back then, their mental energy can be dissipated because of distraction. So I want to ask you, what distracts you in your life today? 888-914-9149. Because it can be a danger. It can be a danger. And so we might be tempted to think, hey, if we want to be smarter, we should be reading all the time. We should be checking our phones all the time. We should be scrolling Twitter all the time. We should be just obsessed with notifications all the time. We should be on Facebook all the time, see what everybody else is up to. enter the metaverse of Mark Zuckerberg. No, no. I mean, let's get, actually, it's not even good for your mind to know all this stuff. And I'll talk about that in just a second. So as these Dominican writers, these modern day Dominicans, Brother Christopher Daniel, Brother John Mary Peters, they're starting to wonder, wow, maybe A.G. Sertolange back in the 1920s, maybe he was a prophet. Maybe he was granted the gift of prescience for our time, because what he had to say back in the 1920s is more relevant now than ever. Because again, we can lose ourselves, endless scrolling, endless refreshing on internet sites. And we do have to be informed about what's going on. We can't live in a protective bubble, or in some sort of a fantasy land where we're not interacting with the outside world. But we can get lost in the endless information that hits us all the time. It's 24/7, 365, every morning, afternoon, evening, and night. So he talks about exiting a little bit from the cacophony, whatever, of the world in order to cultivate interior silence. And so that could be in the week that wasn't, Lucas, by the way. So here's another thing that he writes, quote, when silence takes possession of you, when far from the racket of the human highway, the sacred fire flames up in the stillness. When peace, which is the tranquility of order, puts order in your thoughts, your feelings, your investigations, then you are in the supreme disposition for learning, end of quote. So if you really want to learn stuff, you've got to step away from all the information for a little bit. And I really like his definition of peace, by the way. A.G. Sertolange, tranquility of order. Tranquility of order. That is a really, really good definition of peace. I love it. So why does he urge this? Why does he urge people to reject all these different distractions? Well, he actually, in this way, he's a lot different from modern-day self-help gurus, because the writers of this article point out, modern-day self-help gurus, when they ask people, yeah, you got to simplify your life, you got to block out distractions, got to try to have a little bit of silence, what they want you to do, what they want you to find is something called mindfulness. You've probably heard about this. You've probably seen, well, there are all these mindfulness apps that I can download and people wanting to promote mindfulness. You've got to be more mindful. Well, what's mindfulness? It's the attempt to become fully present to the moment, to yourself, and to one's current experience. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? Because very often we spend time in, you know, one of two places, the past, where we are right now is one thing, but we're thinking about the past. Oh, what did I do back then? I shouldn't have done this. I should have done this. I should have said that. Or you remember that time? Yeah, that was great. Or that wasn't so great. Or sometimes we're spending time in the future, which obviously hasn't arrived yet. And we're worried about it. We're concerned about it. Maybe we look forward to it. But if we're concerned about it and we're stressed about it, just remember, you don't have the graces for that yet because you haven't gotten there yet. So God only gives you, it's like the manna, right, that he gave the Israelites. His graces are really only for the present moment, right, when it comes to his peace, the equipment that you'll need to deal with these issues. A lot of it is given in the moment. So it's sufficient for the day, as Jesus said, sufficient unto the day are the troubles. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to worry about itself. Need to think, you know, we need to plan, of course. We need to think about things, but let's not be excessive about this. So in terms of this mindfulness on the present moment, where you are, what's going on currently, what's happening in the moment, that's not so bad, but that's not what we're really looking for as Catholics. We're looking for something much more than mindfulness. We're looking for the presence of God. And this is what A.G. Sertolange was all about. He's urging removing distractions, not for one's own sake, but you want to remove these distractions and be able to find a little bit of silence and a little bit of peace, not so that you can be present and mindful, but so that you can find something outside of yourself, the truth. You can find someone outside yourself, the truth, God. So that's the difference. It's not sort of a self-help mindfulness. This is practicing the presence of God. And there's so many saints that talked about this. I remember Brother Lawrence. There's this famous book by this guy, Brother Lawrence, who wrote this book called The Practice of the Presence of God. And he was a monk, and his job was to peel the potatoes in the kitchen. And you might say, well, he became a spiritual giant peeling potatoes. And in his book, he says, you know what? I was able to achieve heights of spiritual, you know, ecstasy while peeling the potatoes, just as if I was in the cathedral for high mass, receiving our Lord in the Eucharist, praying, you know, in this wonderful environment, you know, beautiful organ music, whatever. Peeling potatoes in the kitchen, I could achieve great spiritual heights by practicing the presence of God. God is there. And so that's what we want to talk about when we talk about the present moment. It's finding God in the present moment. That's the difference there for us. So anyways, everybody has a vocation. It's not necessarily a vocation to be an intellectual as he was. We're talking about this interesting article about this book, The Intellectual Life, written by the French Dominican A.G. Sertolange. Not everybody's an intellectual, but we all have some sort of a job, some sort of a profession. And if you're a student, that is your job. You're working towards a profession. You're training for it. And we need to avoid distractions that can get us off course. But the biggest distraction that we have here, and this is, it's different in our age. It's more intense in our age because of the internet, because of the devices, all that stuff. Curiositas. That's the problem. He talks a lot about this. Now, that's the Latin word curiositas, but it's basically excessive curiosity. And this is really dangerous. And this is where we get so concerned about keeping up with the Kardashians and even just, you know, inquiring minds want to know about a lot of different things. I want to learn about stuff. I have an appetite for learning. If I want to find out how things work. One thing I'm trying to learn about, which I really don't understand right now, is the whole crypto scene, you know, the blockchain, Ethereum, Bitcoin. I don't know. I don't really understand all this, how this all works. And I'm trying to figure this out. So, but we can get so curious about stuff that can be a problem. So there's too much. We need to focus a little bit. And so ultimately we need to focus on God. So here's something that he says in his book. He says, the life of study is austere and imposes grave obligations. It pays. It pays richly. So there's a payoff to learning. If you are an intellectual, if that's your profession, maybe you're listening today, you're a professor, or you're an intellectual, you know that there's a huge payoff to this. I mean, there's a lot of work involved in study, but guess what? There's a lot that you get out of it too. Fiddler on the Roof, right? Tevye. And Fiddler on the Roof. You remember that song, If I Were a Rich Man, da 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 da. What would he be doing? Here's what he says. If I were a rich man, I would be studying with the scholars. You know, I'd be hanging out trying to learn more about the scriptures. I'd be trying to learn more about my faith. I don't have the leisure right now to study as much as I might like. I can do some, but that's what I would do. And that's, so being rich would just give him the time to be able to do what he really wants, which is learn about God. So we really do have this incredible richness of being able to learn about our faith. But he says, you know, obviously not everybody can do this. And he says, being an intellectual, there's an initial outlay that few are capable of making, the years of study and preparation. He said, it's kind of like being an athlete of the mind. He says the athletes of the mind, like those of the playing field, must be prepared for privations. You've got to deny yourself, right? Long training, a sometimes superhuman tenacity. We must give ourselves from the heart if truth is to give itself to us. So this is what it's all about. It's about finding the truth. And so we need this. And this is what these two writers say, Brother Christopher Daniel, Brother John Henry Peters, the Dominicans. They're talking about the fact that we need this. We need people. We need workers. We need thinkers. We need writers. We need holy people to get our priorities straight and focus on what's truly good here. And then it kind of closes with this. The article kind of closes with this incredible quote from G.K. Chesterton. This is one of the greatest quotes I've ever read in my life. This is amazing. Here's the quote. And by the way, G.K. Chesterton lived at about the same time as A.G. Sertolanger. So here's what Chesterton said, the ever-quotable Chesterton. He said, quote, "The saint is a medicine. The saint is a medicine because he is an antidote. Indeed, that is why the saint is often a martyr. He is mistaken for a poison because he is an antidote." There's more to it. I'm going to tell you in just a sec, but that's why they want to get rid of the saints, because he's actually the antidote, but they think it's a poison. Chesterton goes on to say, the saint will generally be found restoring the world to sanity by exaggerating whatever the world neglects, which is by no means always the same element in every age. Yet each generation seeks its saint by instinct, and he is not what the people want, but rather what the people need. Therefore, it is the paradox of history that each generation is converted by the saint that contradicts it the most. Wow, that quote is fire. That's unbelievable. So let me ask you this. Who are the saints that contradict our generation the most? When you think about the saints that contradict their generation, who do you think of? 888-914-9149. It's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. We will be right back after this.
Welcome to the good life. This is the Cale Clark Show. Have a question? Give Cale a call at 888-914-9149.
Yeah, we're talking about the good life here from a Catholic perspective on the Cale Clark Show. 888-914-9149. We were discussing this really cool article on the work of A.G. Sertolanger, the Dominican who wrote this book called The Intellectual Life back in 1921, really predicting a lot of the distractions of our modern age. And really, it's a lot of his advice in the book is about how to live, that, and it's applicable to all of us. And I just found this such a fascinating piece. And again, we'll provide a link to it in the show notes. It's on a website called Genealogies of Modernity, really interesting site. And written by Brother Christopher Daniel OP and Brother John Henry Peters OP. A really cool article. So thanks for that, guys.